You know, a lot of times there's blessings that God gives us this life.
We don't have to wait for everything till the other side. And I look at my own life, God's been so good to me, so much more than I deserve. And I'm just thankful for all that he's done in my life. So it's on, Chad. Well, we can just use the pulpit mic if need be then. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if you would please. 1 Corinthians 15. And the subject this morning is life from outer space. I was thinking about this earlier this week and kind of dismissed it a couple times, but the Lord just seemed to be bringing it back to me. And I don't even know if we'll get to this passage this morning in this message. I probably won't finish the message this morning. I started out going in one direction with this, and the Lord just seemed to be pushing somewhere else. So it might even change as I preach this morning. We'll just see how it goes. But begin in verse 35 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 35. But some men will say, how are the dead raised up, and what body do they come? The whole chapter is about the resurrection, 1 Corinthians 15. And so he's breaking in the middle of it here, but he's speaking about the resurrection. Verse 36, thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but grain, bare grain, it may chance of wheat or some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh. But there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And so, as it is written, so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit that was not first which was spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that it which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy, and as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And so we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Life from outer space. That's been the topic of late, as a man was testifying before the House this week. And he said that there are they have recovered non-human biological remains from a crash site of a spacecraft of unknown origin. Interesting, isn't it? Are these creatures alien life forms from another planet? Are these UFOs, or the new term that they have for it now, UAPs, unidentified aerial phenomena? I don't know what was wrong with the old term, but they had to change it. As if these things from another world? You know, scientists would have us to believe that intelligent life is possible on other planets, and are diligently seeking to prove that hypothesis. Let me give you some examples. This first is from the Astrophysical Journal. And they write, Hycean planets. You say, what are Hycean planets? I'm glad you asked. They are
hypothetical type of planet. So it doesn't even exist. Described as a hot, water-covered planet with a hydrogen atmosphere, the presence of extraterrestrial liquid water. Well, isn't liquid water just water? Makes Hycean planets promising candidates for planetary habitability. They could be the ideal spot for microbial life similar to the extrempoles, probably said that wrong, that thrive in some of the Earth's harshest environments and could potentially, now this is a real technical term coming up, I'll do my best to get it right, but he says that they thrive in some of the harshest Earth's harshest environments and could potentially host itty bitty life beneath the waves. My biology teacher, Bio Bob, in high school probably would have shot me if I said something like that. Itty bitty life. Then this next one, and Pleiades, which is Saturn's sixth largest moon, may be a sign that life teems in the moon's subsurface sea, this moon of Saturn. The researchers found that the, now watch this, methane-farting microbes could indeed be contributing to the planet's gassy geysers, meaning life can't be ruled out on the icy moon. Okay. You know what's strange? These scientists are dedicating who knows how much money, who knows how many hours, all this effort to try to locate or prove that there is life in other planets. And yet I dare say most of them can't find life in a mother's womb. That's tragic. One more. On April 29th, 2019, astronomers detected a signal beaming toward Earth, and it seemed from Proxima Centauri. Because the signal fell into a narrow band of radio waves that are rarely made by human aircraft or satellites, researchers interpreted it as a possible sign of alien technology. But the signal never repeated. And a study published this October in the journal Nature Astronomy explains why. The signal was actually coming from a malfunctioning computer or cellular device located near the telescope that detected it. Yeah, I'm going to believe that they're finding these things. You know, if anything, the last few years should have taught us is that you can't trust the government or their experts to tell the truth. There's an agenda, folks, and there are truths that they completely disregard in the putting forth of their particular agenda. You say, do you believe in UFOs, preacher? Yes, I do. I believe there are UFOs. And the name states why. Unidentified flying objects. Or unidentified aerial phenomena. The key word being unidentified. And oftentimes, maybe not always, but oftentimes when they are identified, it turns out to be a balloon or some bird or some kind of foreign spy craft or some kind of top secret government thing. Unidentified. But they have an identity. And I'm not convinced that they are from some. Well, I know that they can't be from someplace in outer space. If they originated here on this earth. You know, there's a lot of stuff I don't know. You get into this technical stuff like methane farting microbes and itty bitty life forms, you know. But there is one thing I know. So it's recorded here. And this is truth. And so I want to take a look at this morning. Let's start with 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And I know that I can trust everything that's recorded in the pages of this book. I do trust, even though I may not understand it all, I do trust everything that's recorded in the pages of this book. Here at 2 Timothy chapter 3, let's start at verse 1. Paul's writing and he's talking about the last days. He says, "This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come." And I tend to think we are in the last days, but whether we are or not, we are definitely in some perilous times. Then he describes what's going on. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. I mean, the description certainly fits. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. Moms killing their babies in their womb. Truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. That's today. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, as these scientists. He says, from such, turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lust, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. That certainly describes today. I mean, the knowledge that we have available to us today, just right there. Well, you want to know something? You know, you want to know about the itty-bitty life forms? Just check it out. The information's there. You can look it up. Never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Look down at verse 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. I don't know what that man who gave testimony saw. I don't know what knowledge he has. I don't know what he has access to. But I know that men are deceivers and are being deceived. But he says, verse 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to stay with what I've learned. I'm going to stay with what I can know without any uncertainty. And that's what God tells us in his word. So is there life on other planets? Well, let's explore this question just for a moment. Go back to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning. So you got God, and then things started. Before it started, God was. And God was the starter of it. It wasn't some explosion or some microbe that grew into a human being or something. It was God. This is in the beginning. God created the heaven and the earth. Just two places are mentioned. And God is the creator of those two places. God made them. Each, you know, Earth has is the only planet that God identifies by name. Do you realize that? We got Jupiter and Saturn and Pluto, and or I guess, I don't know, is Pluto still considered a planet? But men gave those names to them. Men decided that they had some significance, the, what is it, nine of them, above all the other stars in the sky. You know what God does? He lumps them all together. God gives no significance to any of the nine bodies that man pays attention to. God doesn't care about Mars. God doesn't care about any of the other planets, just Earth. That one has God's attention. Look at Psalm 100. Keep your finger here in Genesis 1. Go to Psalm 147. Psalm 147. Psalm 147 and verse 4. He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. God's got names for every one of them. Man assigns some particular names, but God had already named them. That you've heard about the star registry, you know, for $50 or whatever it is, you can have a star named after you. Too late. God already did it, along with all the planets. But the only one that God tells us the name that he gave is Earth. Earth occupies a very special position in God's plan and purpose. Go to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 26. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things that bringeth out their host by number? He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. God is interested in earth above all these others. Go back to Genesis chapter 1 again. Genesis verse 1 verse 2, it talks about the condition of the earth after he created it. Then we pick it up in verse 3 as he begins to talk about his act of creation upon the earth. Verse 3, God said, let there be light, and there was light. God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the heavens, and let it divide the waters from the waters. So the first day, light's made, and he separates light and darkness. Before God made light, it was just dark. That's what verse 2 says. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. God made the light to give to separate the darkness. So now is the second day, it says in verse 6, and God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. So you got light and dark, and you got the water there from verse 2. And he says, let it divide the waters from the waters. So you got water, but suddenly now you've got something in between dividing the water. Let's read on. Verse 7, and God made the firmament and divided the waters that were under the firmament from the waters which were under the firmament, and it was so, and God called the firmament heaven. And the evening and the morning were the second day. So he made light, dividing light from darkness. He made heaven, dividing water with water above heaven and water below heaven. Verse 9, and God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place. So he's ignoring the water above the heaven at this point, and just focusing upon the water below the heaven, that the heaven divided these two bodies of water. And in this lower body of water, he brings all the water into one place, and he says, let the dry land appear. So as he gathers the water together, land appears. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth. and the gathering together of the waters called he sees, and God saw that it was good. And then he goes on, he talks about the bringing the plant life and the herbs and all those things coming to pass on the earth. But this is God's act of creation. God bringing all these things into being in a matter of 6 consecutive days. Not thousands or billions of years. 6 days. First day was light. Second day, heaven. Third day, earth. And then the plant life and so forth upon the earth. He formed it all. Drop down to verse 14. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven, divide the day from night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. So now he's bringing those stars. And those stars covers a wide variety of planets. The sun, the moon, Saturn, Mars, Jupiter, all the others are included in the stars. So God begins to bring these things into, on the fourth day, God begins to bring all these things into being and bringing that light through them. And he says, let them be signs for seasons, for days and years. God established signs, seasons, well, signs with them, seasons, days, and years. God created all those things. Verse 15, and let them be for lights in the firmament of heaven and give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made 2 great lights. Now, of all those stars that he made, suddenly he's going to focus on 2 of them. And God made 2 great lights, the greater light to rule the day. Anyone need to help figuring out what the greater light is? The sun. And the lesser light to rule the night. The moon. Now here's the mention of all the other planets. And he made the stars also. God doesn't really pay much attention to them. Oh yeah, I made Jupiter, Mars, Venus, Uranus, all the others. But I just made the stars also. The sun and the moon and the earth and heaven get special attention. Where did I leave off? Verse 17, and God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good, and the evening and the morning were the fourth day. All those other things, Saturn with its 6th moon and the methane farting gas, and the itty-bitty things up in there, those other places, God just blunts them all together, gives no special attention to any of those things. Because Earth has a very special role in the plan and the purpose of God. And he talked about all the life that he brought forth upon the Earth. The plant life, the life in the sea, the beasts of the earth, and of course, man. Earth has a special role in God's plan and purpose. Look at Isaiah chapter 45. Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 11. Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and his Maker, ask me of things to come concerning my sons, and concerning the work of my hands, command ye me. God says, come on, ask me. Ask me anything about the things to come, about the work of my hands. Verse 12, I have made the earth and created man upon it. I even, my hands have stretched out the heavens, and all their hosts have I commanded. God made them and commanded them. Drop down to verse 18. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. Watch this. He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. God made the earth to be inhabited, not any other planet. This is the one that has God's attention. This is the one that he began to bring all this life, all this beauty in. I mean, everything that we know about these other planets is just a bunch of dust, some with water, nothing beautiful about it, just wastelands. But this one, God made special. This planet, which we call home, God had a purpose for, and the purpose was preparing a place for the man which he was going to create. And all of life is limited to this particular planet. You won't find anything else, and the scientists have not found anything else either. I mean, they're just clutching at straws, trying to somehow excuse and explain away God. Look at chapter 40, Isaiah 42, verse 5. Thus saith the Lord, God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein. Chapter 40 and verse 22. It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. Isaiah was written probably about 600 BC, 2600 years ago. 2600 years ago, God recorded, the earth is round. God sitteth upon the circle of the earth. As early as the 1400s AD, and even today in 2023, some people believe the earth is flat. God said it's round. He sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. It's a circuit. It's a globe. Look at Psalm 115. Psalm 115 and verse 16. Psalm 115, 16, the heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth hath he given to the children of men. God made it to be inhabited. God made it for his special creation for man. Go to Genesis chapter 1 again. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image. You go back through and all the other things that God made, man alone is one in the image of God. He created the trees, he created the plants, he created the flowers, he created the hippopotamus, he created all the fish, the whales, everything. Man alone, created in God's image. He says, after our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And then in chapter 2, it tells us that God took, after he created man, he brought all the beasts before Adam and let Adam assign names to them. You go ahead and choose the name, Adam. Because this earth that has God's special attention has that attention because it's created for the most special of all of his creation, you and me. God made us for a purpose. God loves us. God created us with a special purpose in mind, that we might worship and honor and praise his precious name. But I want you to think about something else. God came to this earth in the form of a man, right? He chose no other creature to take on the form of. He became a man. He didn't become an angel. He could have. He didn't become any kind of a beast. He could have. He chose to become a man. And why did he do that? Because of the sin of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, which brought a curse not only upon themselves, but upon all of creation. Look over at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 21. Because the creature itself also was delivered from bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God, for we know that the whole creation, now wait a minute, the whole creation groaneth and traileth in pain together until now. And not only they, that is the whole creation, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. All of creation was cursed by the sin that Adam and Eve committed. If there is life somewhere else on this earth, or in this universe, this world, in all of creation, then they're cursed as well. And they have no means of redemption. Because man alone was the one who God gave himself for, to redeem us unto himself. If there's some alien out there, if E.T. is real, then he's going to hell. He has no Savior. I think that's one of the strongest arguments of why this is the only place there can possibly be human life. No place else. The Bible doesn't mention any place. This is a special place, and we have a special creator. I'll wrap this up with one more passage. Go to Psalm chapter 8. Psalm chapter 8. This is a psalm of David, called the Sweet Psalmist of Israel, a man after God's own heart. David was a man who spent a lot of time contemplating. And you read this psalm, you think about, he probably stepped outside of his palace one night and just enjoying the nice warm evening, looking up at the stars that God had created him for him, looking upon the empire that God had given to him, and all the things that he had been given by God to enjoy. As he's sitting there contemplating, he pens these words, beginning in verse 1 of Psalm chapter 8. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. when I consider thy heavens. You know, that's all yours, God. You've given me the privilege to be able to sit here and enjoy the beauty of those constellations, the wonder of that lightning storm as it comes up, the beauty of that rainbow that follows after a rainstorm. He says, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the Son of Man that thou visitest him? David says, God, what am I? And we all should have that same response. What am I? That God should allow me to become his son. John 1 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. We're so unworthy. And David understood that. What am I, God? That you should visit me. That you should even have any concern or care about me as an individual. Who am I, God? What is man that thou art mindful of? The Son of Man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. Angels are a higher created being than man. We're a low man on the totem pole when it comes to created beings. We're above some, but we're not above the angels. But then he says this, and has crowned him with glory and honor. God has taken us, this lowly creature, and raised us up and placed a crown upon our heads. That I can be the Son of God and have dominion over this creation of his. He gave it to us to subdue it. He says, verse 6, thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, and the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord. How excellent is thy name in all the earth. You are a special creation of God. You have a special purpose that God desires for you to fulfill with your life. First and foremost, that's to give honor and praise and glory to him. He's given us life. He's given us the air to breathe, the food that we eat, the beauty of this creation to enjoy. Don't take it for granted. Give him the praise and honor for it. Let's stand, please, for prayer. Father, pray that my feeble attempt this morning has stirred in the hearts of your people a desire to just praise and honor and glorify you for who you are and what you have done for us, all that you have done for us. God, it's simply amazing. That you would have been willing to suffer and die in our place, that we might be able to spend eternity with you. Oh God, we're so undeserving. But it's your great love wherewith you loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, that you came to quicken us together with Jesus Christ. God, I thank you for that. And God, if there's someone here this morning that's never receive that saving grace through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, speak to their hearts. May they understand and receive you as their Lord and Savior. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.